Leviticus chapter 25, verses 23 and 24. This is the word of the Lord. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption of the land. This is the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 17, the Lord promises to give to Abraham and to his offspring the land of his sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and to be their God. As the story of the Old Testament unfolds, we see the fulfillment of this promise. We see its fulfillment when the Lord brings his people, the offspring of Abraham, out of the land of Egypt and into the land of Canaan, into the land of promise, into the land of Abraham's sojournings. And having brought his people into that land, the land is divided among the people. It is divided among them according to their tribes and also according to their families. Each family possessed a portion of that land as its inheritance. It belonged to that family, to all generations. But a man might become poor. He might be forced to sell himself or to sell his property in order to live, in order to provide for his family. What then would become of his inheritance? What would become of the inheritance of his fathers? What would become of that land that had been given to them for all generations? In Leviticus chapter 25, the Lord makes provision for such a circumstance. He makes provision for such a one that he might not lose forever that inheritance of his fathers. In the 50th year, in the year of Jubilee, liberty was to be proclaimed throughout the land. And in that year, in the Jubilee, all the people were given the right to return to their property, to take again possession of their inheritance. And if God blessed someone before the year of Jubilee, such that he was no longer poor, what then? He was able to repay the debt that he owed, and he was given that right. He had the right to redeem the land. Or if another could redeem the land for him, he also had that right. The land was not to be kept from him. The land was not to be sold in perpetuity. The land was not to be sold forever. The people were to allow for its redemption at any time. when the land was sold. It was never to be sold forever. And why? In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, the Lord gives the reason why. Why was the land not to be sold in perpetuity? Why was the land not to be sold forever? Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. The land is mine. For Israel possessed the land. The land did not ultimately belong to Israel, but rather to the Lord. The land is mine. The Lord does not end there. He continues. Not only is the land mine, but you are strangers and sojourners with me. The land belonged to the Lord, and his people were strangers and sojourners with him. This morning we will consider what it meant for the land to belong to the Lord, and what it meant for his people to be strangers and sojourners with the Lord. And not only what it meant for them, but what it means for us, what it means for you. Why did the land belong to the Lord? The obvious answer is Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and all its fullness belongs to the Lord. Why? Because he is its creator. He created all things, and so all things belong to him. If all the earth belongs to the Lord, then of course the land of Canaan belongs to the Lord. But that is not the only reason why the land belongs to the Lord. In Scripture, the land of Canaan, the land of promise, is said to be the Lord's in a way that other lands are not. The land of promise was the land of the Lord in a way that the rest of the earth was not. It is why the land was called the Holy Land. But why was it holy? What made it holy? Why did it belong to the Lord in distinction from the other lands of the earth? We find the beginning of an answer in Psalm 115. In In Psalm 115, at the beginning of the psalm, in verse 2, the psalmist says, "Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. You cannot see Him because He dwells in the heavens." And then at the end of the psalm, in verse 16, the psalmist declares, "The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth He has given to the children of man." Why are the heavens the Lord's heavens, whereas the earth He has given to the children of man? Because the Lord dwells in the heavens, whereas man dwells on the earth. It is because the Lord dwells in the heavens that the heavens are said to belong to Him in distinction from the earth. And now we are better able to understand why the land of Canaan, the land of promise, would be said to belong to the Lord in a way that other lands were not said to belong to the Lord. Why that land, in distinction from all other lands, was said to be holy. Because like the heavens, that land was His dwelling place. It was the place where God dwelt. It was the place where He dwelt among His people. That is why the land was His. Just as the heavens are His as His dwelling place, so the land of Canaan was His as His dwelling place. That was the land where He determined to dwell. That is the place where heaven would dwell on earth. We hear this in the Song of Moses. After the Lord brings His people out of the land of Egypt, after He brings them through the waters of the Red Sea, in Exodus chapter 25, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 17, Moses sings, "You will bring your people in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established." Moses speaks of the land of Canaan as the land of the Lord, the land where He has chosen to dwell, the place He chose to dwell with His people. And what Moses looked forward to in Exodus chapter 15, in Psalm 78, the psalmist looks back on it. Psalm 78, verses 54 and 55. "He brought them to His holy land, to the mountain which His right hand had won. He drove out nations before them. He apportioned them for a possession and settled the tribes of Israel in their tents." The Lord brought His people to His holy land, to the mountain which he won, to the place he had chosen to dwell. The land of promise was the land of the Lord. The land of promise was the holy land, because it was the land of God's presence, because it was the place of his dwelling with his people. It was for this reason that the Lord said, "The land is mine." I have chosen it for myself. I have taken it for myself. That here I might dwell with you. And so the Lord gives the land to his people. The Lord does not only give the land to his people, but he also gives himself to his people. He does not merely give them the land, but he also gives them himself. For that is what he promised to Abraham and to his offspring. Not only to give them the land of Abraham's sojournings, but also to be their God. And so the Lord gave the land to his people, and he gave himself to the people. For he dwelt in that land. There he dwelt with his people. But in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, the Lord says of his people, not only that they are with him, that they are strangers and sojourners with him. Leviticus 25, verse 23, "You are strangers and sojourners with me." How was it that his people were strangers and sojourners with the Lord? It is a striking statement, especially if we consider that throughout Leviticus, the people of Israel are always distinguished from those who dwelt in the land as strangers and sojourners. There would be strangers and sojourners among the people, but the people themselves were not strangers and sojourners. The people were regarded as heirs of the land. They were regarded as citizens of the land. They were distinct from those who might dwell in the land temporarily. They were distinguished from those who dwelt in the land but did not possess the land. And yet here the Lord calls his people strangers and sojourners. Why does the Lord speak of his people this way? Why are they strangers and sojourners with him? In Leviticus chapter 25, we read these words, stranger and sojourner, but not for the first time in Scripture. Leviticus chapter 25 is the second time in Scripture that we find these words together, stranger and sojourner. The first time is Genesis. In Genesis chapter 23. In Genesis chapter 23, Abraham is dwelling in the land of Canaan. He's dwelling in the land of promise. But Sarah, his wife, dies. And in Genesis chapter 23, verse 4, Abraham addresses the people who at that time possessed the land. And he says to them, I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place. Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as a stranger and as a sojourner because he did not possess the land as his own, because it had not yet been given to him by God. But in Leviticus chapter 25, the people have been given possession of the land. And yet they are still spoken of as strangers and sojourners. And not only this, but as strangers and sojourners, not with a foreign people, but with God. Why? Why were they strangers and sojourners with the Lord? They were given his land. But they were strangers and sojourners with him. Because they dwelt in that land temporarily. Because they could not possess it forever. This is what David, the king of Israel, will say in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, as he offers his possessions for the building of God's house on Mount Zion. In Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, he says, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. people were strangers and sojourners in the land. Because they could not dwell in the land forever. Because they could not possess the land forever. Because there was no abiding in the land. Because death would take them. Death would take them from the land of promise. Death would separate them from the dwelling place of God with His people. Why were they strangers and sojourners with the Lord? Because they could not dwell with the Lord forever. In this world. Even as the people of God possessed the land of Canaan, like their father Abraham, they were to dwell in that land as in a foreign land. They were to acknowledge that even in that land, they were strangers and sojourners. They were strangers and sojourners in the land. They were strangers and sojourners on the earth. Like their father Abraham, they were to desire a better land. A better country. Like their father Abraham, they were to desire the heavenly land. The heavenly country. A land where they would no longer be strangers and sojourners. A land where they would no longer be strangers and sojourners with the Lord. A land where they would dwell forever. A land where they would dwell with the Lord forever. This same David who acknowledged himself as a stranger and sojourner with the Lord in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. He is the one in Psalm 23 who is sure that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. From where did his hope come? From where did his assurance come? From the one who was David's son. From the one who is David's Lord. This assurance is given to us. This hope is given to us. Not in Abraham. Not in David. not in ourselves, but in Christ, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord Himself, from whom and for whom are all things. The Lord Himself became flesh and dwelt among us. He became a stranger and sojourner for us. He became a stranger and sojourner with us. For our sake, He was cut off out of the land of the living. For us, He suffered the death of a stranger. For us, He suffered the death of a sojourner. In the end, like Abraham before him, his only possession in the land was a grave. For he lived in the hope of a better land. He died in the hope of a better country. And having been raised from the dead, he now possesses that better land. He now possesses that greater country. He now possesses the heavenly kingdom forever. As death no longer has dominion over him, it is his forever. There he dwells with the Lord forever. There he is no longer a stranger and a sojourner. There he is a citizen and an heir. By faith in him, you also are no longer strangers and sojourners, you are no longer strangers and sojourners with the Lord. But you are citizens and heirs. You are members of the household of God. In this world, you are strangers and sojourners. In the end, you will die. All of your possessions, they will no longer be yours. and the end. Your only possession is a grave. If we have hope in this life only, we of all men are most to be pitied. But you have a better hope. For though in this world you will die, in the world to come you will live forever. For though here you are a stranger and a sojourner, there you are a citizen and an heir. There you will dwell with God forever. There death will be no more. This hope is yours in Christ. It was in this hope that Christ became a stranger and sojourner in this world. It is in this hope that you may live as a stranger and sojourner in this world. It is in this hope that you may joyfully accept the plundering of your property, since you know that you yourselves have a better possession and an abiding one. One that cannot be lost. One that cannot be taken away. One that is yours in Christ. One that is yours forever. People of God, rejoice. Christ has come, and you are no longer strangers and sojourners with God. To him be the glory. Amen. Let us pray.